Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, as we stand to our feet. Luke, chapter 18. I want to read one verse of Scripture. That's verse number 1. Luke, chapter 18, and verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them, the Lord Jesus. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for grace and for mercy, your blessings on our life. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to open up your word. And tonight I pray that you'll use it to speak to us. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to understand what we have in this privilege of prayer. God, I pray that you'll work in our lives in such a way that we'll go out of here with a greater desire to have a stronger prayer life. Lord, if there be one here tonight without Christ as Savior, I pray that this would be the night that they trust thee. Hide me, dear Lord, behind the cross. I'm not worthy even to stand here. But Lord, I pray that somehow, some way, you'd use me. You'd give me the unction to preach. Hide me, dear Lord, behind the cross. And tonight, may we hear from thee. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. The Lord Jesus is getting ready to give a parable. As he gives this parable, he talks about a lady that comes to a judge. And we understand that here was a judge that did not fear God. And this lady comes and she's a widow in the city. And the Bible says she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? We find the Lord Jesus giving a parable here about a lady that comes to a judge. And here's a judge that did not fear God, but here's a lady that said, avenge me of mine adversary. He didn't want to have anything to do with her, but because she continued on and continued on and continued on, he listened to her. And finally, he avenged her of her adversary. And tonight, I want us to see that the Bible is helping us to realize that we ought to be in prayer all the time. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm just going to give up on this. I'm going to quit on this. But the Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means not give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit doing what you're doing. God wants us to be prayer warriors. God wants us to be a praying people. God wants us to communicate with Him and to come to Him. God puts things in our heart and He wants us to have that kind of a prayer life where once we believe this is what God would have us to have to be a part of our lives, that we trust Him continually. We all understand tonight that prayer is so vital to the Christian's life. The greatest power in the world is the power of prayer. We can see great things happen if God's people would be a praying people. We must understand tonight that God has given us the privilege of prayer. You remember after the disciples heard him as he prayed to the Lord, they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gave them what we call the model prayer. And he said, pray after this manner, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Now that's not what the Lord's Prayer would be, but that is a model prayer. We're to enter into our prayer closet and we're to enter into His presence with praise for who He is. We're to understand who we are and what we are, and we're to confess to Him our faults and our shortcomings. We are to seek forgiveness from Him the same way that we forgive others. And then we are to trust the Lord for our daily provisions, and then as we leave that prayer, we're leaving Him thanking Him that He is in control and everything's going to be all right. And I talk to all kinds of Christians, and with all that's going on in the world, you would think that it's the doom and gloom hour, you know? But it's not. Somebody said it's getting darker and darker, but if you're saved, it's getting brighter and brighter. And we need to be a people that's going to pray and trust God. And I'll give you three thoughts about prayer tonight. And we'll be done. I told Jody, I said, I'm not preaching a long sermon tonight. For some reason, just this is what God's put on my heart. But I want you to see, first of all, prayer ought to be personal. Personal. Will you go back with me all the way in the Old Testament to the book of Exodus, chapter 32? Exodus chapter 32, verse number 11. Of course, you know, the Lord used Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. God provided their needs. He was taking good care of them and provided them food. I mean, He did miracles to get them out of Egypt. He did a great miracle and allowed them to cross the Red Sea. He's given them the Ten Commandments. He's given them everything they need to know for to live by. And now they're griping, complaining, murmuring, and fussing, and feuding. And, you know, there weren't Baptists back then, but this is pretty close, right? I'm just teasing. I am a Baptist, and I'm happy about that. I couldn't be anything else. I'm a Christian first. I'm Baptist because of my beliefs about the Bible. But notice what the Bible says in verse number 11. After God had made His mind up, He was just going to consume the children of Israel. He was going to, you know, that's what He said. Now, I personally believe that He was using this to help Moses to be the leader that He wanted him to be. Because God had made a promise and He had made a covenant with Abraham. You remember that covenant, right? That God was going to bring a Savior into the world through this seed and through this line. Well, listen to this in verse number 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with a great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto him, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all of this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Here we find the scenario that we've already talked about. The children of Israel are griping and complaining, and God says, I'm going to consume them. I'm going to get rid of them. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. But Moses goes, and he takes this personal. We need to take our prayer life personal. It ought to be personal to us. We're praying about things around us. It ought to be personal. We're praying about somebody that needs Christ as Savior. It ought to be personal to us. And when it becomes personal, we'll do something about the prayer that we prayed. God, would you send somebody to knock on their door? Well, then we'll start knocking on the door because somebody's praying for people in this area that somebody will knock on their door. We pray so many times on our prayer list, and we have a whole list of people that need the Lord, but we bring three or four every week, so you will really look at these names and pray especially for these names. Sometimes we'll say, be with all these people on this list, but we want to call them out by name. And a lot of times this is what I pray. Lord, they're in a different part of the world, but I'm praying that you'll prepare their hearts and that somebody will knock on their door, or somebody will speak to them, or somebody will cross their path. It becomes personal, doesn't it? That's what was happening here. We need to get personal in our prayer life. Somebody told me a few weeks ago, and I thought, boy, that's so good what you just said. He said, you know, somebody asked me to pray for them. And he said, I didn't know what the Lord's will was in the matter. But I prayed specifically about what they asked me to pray about. And I said, Lord, I don't know if this is exactly what you want or not, but I'm coming to you and maybe my prayer will make the difference. It may or may not change the situation, but God, I'm not going to fail on my part by not praying. And he said, I take this personal. And he said that to me, and I thought, that is so good. We ought to make prayer personal. We put ourselves into it, but sometimes we're just so flippant in our prayer life. So generic. So, you know, we just give up, don't we? We throw in the towel. This judge said, this lady won't leave me alone. Jesus said, men ought always pray and not to faint. Don't quit. Make it personal. Pray and trust God and see what God can do. When we go in the energy of the flesh and in our own ability, we get what we can do. But when we go after we prayed and we trusted the Lord and we move forward that way, we get what God can do. And I'd rather have what God can do than what man can do anytime, wouldn't you? I'd rather be following Him than following me anytime. We need this prayer life to be personal. Our prayer should be personal. Our prayer can change situations. Our prayer can work in people's lives. Our prayer can affect somebody else in their situation. When somebody asks you to pray for them and you say, I will pray for you, make it personal. How many times have you said to somebody, I'll be praying for you, just, you know, somebody says, boy, we're going through all these things, and you say, well, I'm going to be praying for you, and then you don't pray for them. First of all, we just lied. Secondly, we didn't make it personal. Men ought always to pray. I'm convinced that if we'll have the right kind of prayer life, then when somebody says, pray for me, we'll be praying for them. About certain situations, a lot of times somebody will come to me and say, pray for me. And if it's not something I've already been praying for, if it's something that I know that they're dealing with right then, I'll say, let's pray right now. Because I want to be sure that we pray about this. And it becomes personal to me. And I'll pray, and I'll be waiting to hear what happens sometimes, you know. And sometimes I wait when somebody says, pray for me, and I wait to see how personal it was to them to see if they'll tell me what happened. Sometimes when I'm just dealing with somebody with a test or something, I may make a phone call, you know, and say, you found out anything? But you see that, you see what I'm talking about tonight? Does that make sense? Prayer ought to be personal. Does it make sense to you? It should. This needs to be personal. Well, have a personal prayer list. Go into your closet. Have a prayer closet. Have a place where you pray. That could be any place. Some people have chairs, you know, and that's their place. They go and pray. And if you live alone or there's a couple of you in the house, then, you know, you can find a place, you know. If there's several of you in the house, then you get your place and you have a time to spend with God in prayer. And make prayer personal. Number two, not only is prayer to be personal, prayer can be powerful. Powerful. Let's go back into the New Testament, and I want you to look with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 17. Matthew, chapter number 17, and verses 20 and 21. The Lord Jesus, again, is speaking. And the whole Bible is the inspired Word of God. So God is speaking throughout the whole Word. But when we come to these places and the Lord Jesus is teaching His disciples and He's teaching those around us, I think we ought to take special note of this. I mean, the whole Bible is the inspired Word of God. We don't have any doubts about that. But look at what the Bible says here in verse number 20 of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 17. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have the faith, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now what's going on here is the Lord Jesus had given them a commandment to go and to heal people and to do certain things, and He had given them some apostolic power, certain abilities that they were to have. And there was somebody that came to Him and said, we need some healing. But the disciples, these apostles, they couldn't do it. And Jesus rebuked them for their faith and said, you cannot because of your unbelief. And then he goes on and he begins to say that if we'll have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Now, we understand the minuteness of a mustard seed, right? Faith in God can move mountains. Faith in God can change situations. Faith in God can mend broken hearts and can mend broken homes. It can mend broken lives and can mend shattered dreams. Faith in God can take the most adverse situation and change it about. And all can be well. Faith in God can also take you through the difficult situations, knowing that He's in control and that you're trusting Him. And through this faith, nothing's impossible to you. God doesn't always choose to heal. God doesn't always choose to change the situation. God does not always choose to allow certain things to happen. But God does say He'll give you grace to make it through. One thing I found out in dealing with people, we've dealt with all kinds of people in all kinds of situations, and maybe it's a home. Boy, you know it's the Lord's will for that home to be brought back together. You know God would be pleased with these things. And one says, I want this to happen. But the other one's not willing. And God gives us individual soul liberty. You understand? And so God's not going to force certain things. Especially if it's a believer, He may let them go because they make that choice. They may refuse to listen to God. God can work in their lives. Just like He did with the children of Israel. God worked in their lives, but they refused to listen. But God will give grace for those that are seeking Him. And that faith, that small, minute faith, will help carry them through. I was reading the story years ago. I wish I could remember the town. I'm thinking it was Northern Virginia. There was a group of people that had come together and they had organized a local church. They'd come together and a group of people that trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior and they'd been baptized and they had a fellowship of people, but they did not have a building to meet in. And there was a piece of property that they wanted to put this church on, and a man in town owned this piece of property that did not believe in God and did not love the Lord. And they go to this man, they say, we'd like to buy this piece of property from you. We'd like to build a church on it. He said, there is absolutely no way that you'll ever put a church on this property. And they worked with him and they talked to him, and he said, it will not happen. A church is not going on this property. And so they realized that things weren't looking so good, and they said, we need a place to meet. And so they go and they begin to build a church, and they put it up on stilts, you understand, on like blocks. They build it up on the blocks on another piece of property that somebody in the church owned, just so they could go and they could go in and meet. And this man said, this church will not be put on this property. And they prayed and they asked God to do something great. They went and they marched around the land. They said, God, we're going to trust you. True story. God said a rain flooded that town. The church floated down the street and landed on that property. And the man gave them the property. He didn't sell it to them. He said, it's yours. What can prayer do? We look at our great country and we see all that's going on and all that's wrong, and we begin to see that it looks like it's a hopeless situation. But don't forget, God is still on the throne. We understand that societies, the downfall of societies, have been sin and immorality. And by the way, the trouble in America is sin. The trouble in America is sin. And regardless of what you think about who our president is, the day after he was elected, I said our responsibility, just like before, when the president before was elected, I said our responsibility is to pray for our president. And it still is. What he said last week, with the don't ask, don't tell policy is absolutely anti-biblical. And we must pray. I wish I had the article in front of me where several years ago, I believe it was in the 80s, that community of people said, we are going to go after your boys in the barracks, in the movie houses, in the church houses. We're going to go after them strongly. And then, of course, after they made their bold statement, they began to be quiet about it, and then they just began to work and to act. We're not sliding towards Sodom. We're speeding towards Sodom. And I spoke to somebody this week that, and they said, you know, when I voted for him, I didn't vote for this. And I said, but he told you this is what he was going to do. This is a man of his word in that aspect, huh? While we don't agree with that, the problem in America is not don't ask, don't tell. The problem in America is sin. Now, if God says the faith of the mustard seed, faith of a grain of mustard seed can move mountains, don't you think God can do something in our land? God can do this. And our responsibility is to pray for the people that's in leadership. We have to pray about these things. We have to trust the Lord with these things. And I was speaking to somebody, and I mean, you know, they thought, boy, this is just so bad. It's so terrible. And I mean, there's nothing. It's horrible. And I mean, I look and I say, yeah, I agree. There's not a whole lot about this, about the things that I'm seeing that I really like right now. But my faith is not in my government. My faith is in God. And I need God. I need God to guide me through. So with all that's going on, if God's people would pray and not faint, He can take care of this immorality that's running rampant in America. Babies being murdered every day. Alcohol is legal and people can go out and buy it and get drunk and drive down the roads. Sin. Pills. You can go up and down these streets and you'll know what's going on. Sin. And the great need is for God's people to recognize the power of prayer. May God help us. I believe things are getting set up for the return of the Lord. I know they're getting set up for the Antichrist. One world government is now a closer reality than I ever thought it'd be in my lifetime. One world money system, it's there. This administration's for it. Globalization. Not just this administration, many others in the political realm. Many others. Political realm. People think it's going to be the salvation of the world, but I say it's going to be the salvation of the church, because when these things begin to happen, Christ is coming. And the church is going to be out of here. And I'm like, hallelujah, you know? I just wouldn't want to be used to set something like that up. May the Lord help us. We need prayer. I get sometimes, I mean, you know, I about quit watching and listening to the news because I get so discouraged and so depressed. I was watching something today and I told Jody, I said, I've got to turn this off. Because every time I hear some of these things, my stomach just turns to think about this. We become so sensitive to things, you know. I mean, a little boy carries a spork to school and he gets 45-day suspension. You know, I mean, we overreact. We see things happening. Now look, there's a video that's out now where they beat up a homosexual. I am against that. God loves them and Jesus died on the cross for them. And if they'll put their faith in Christ, He can rescue from that lifestyle. Not for that. That's not the answer. The answer is Christ. We see all this going on and we see that that we live in an amoral society, just whatever you think is right, and whatever you think is wrong, as long as it's not Christianity, and it's always wrong according to certain people in certain places. They can get up and sing the rock music, but they can't get up and pray in public. The church, the public school up in, I believe it's Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, had a sign for the football team to run through, and I think it was a sign that had a Bible verse on it that said something like, do all that you do for the glory of the Lord, or something like that. It mentioned the Lord, and they got took to court. But they can blare the rock music on the airwaves. They can blare it out. I want to tell you what the problem in America is Christians have forgotten the power of prayer. We have about 50 people here tonight, I guess, something like that, Brother Vic. 50 people would remember what prayer can do. It'd be amazing what can happen. 50 people. Instead of putting down whoever is in power, whether it's a mayor, a governor, a president, why don't we lift them up in prayer and see what God can do with them? And then we need to see the third thing, the promises of prayer. We ought to take prayer personal. We ought to realize that prayer can be powerful. And thirdly, we ought to understand the promises of prayer. Will you turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter number 3? 1 John chapter number 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5. Of course, this book, this little five-chapter epistle is written to believers, to those that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go and read the Gospel of John, it's going to say something like this: these things I write unto you that you may believe. That's what the Gospel of John is all about. It's about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and how much He loves you and how much He cares for you and what He can do for your life. And John chapter 20 says, I've written these things that you may believe. In other words, I have written so that you'll put your faith in Christ. That's the first book we have that John wrote. Now we come to this second book that John wrote, the Epistle of 1 John, and we see that he has written to those that have already believed. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Not so that you can't believe, but that you've already done it. That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So here we find that John is writing, and he is saying, look, I'm writing these things to you that have believed on the Lord, so that you can know, and that you can believe on Him. Not only for your salvation, but you can believe on Him for your life. But look at what the Bible says in verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Here is the promise of prayer. Anything we ask, it's in His will, He hears us. Isn't that great? This is what God has given us. We talk about the power of a jet engine. We talk about the power of Niagara Falls. We talk about the power of some kind of a super military weapon. But none of those come close. They all pale in comparison to the power of prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were away for a few days. And being away, we were in a place that there was absolutely no media available. I mean, nothing. No internet, no television. I think it's the most restful days that we've ever had in our lives. Because the whole time we was talking about the Lord. We was reading books and just had time with family, sit around and cut up and carry on. And our minds got off of the world, and we started looking at what we had. And Jody and myself and Faith and Joe just sitting around, you know. I didn't know all that was going on in the world. And then I returned to reality. Pick up a paper and you begin to read the paper, and you turn on the TV and you begin to watch TV, and made me want to go back into a hole.
Maybe you want to go back to where you don't know all that's going on. But God sees it all. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. Other than I know that before it gets too bad, Jesus is coming. I don't know how it's going to transpire, everything that's going to transpire. I don't know all that's going to take place. I just know that He can come at any time. His return is imminent. It could happen at any time. And when He comes, what greater thing could He find us to do than living in this attitude of prayer and trusting Him? We can't be on our knees 24 hours a day, but we can be corresponding with Him 24 hours a day. You say, well, I'm asleep. One thing I found is when you go to sleep communing with God, when you wake up through the night, you'll still be communing with God. You wake up the next morning communing with God. A couple weeks ago, I told Jody, I think I'm getting ready to die. She said, why is that? Well, I said, I woke up on Thursday morning and I was singing a song. I was singing, going home, I'm going home. There's nothing to hold me here. The next day I woke up and I was singing, I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the, you know. I'm just glad the next day I didn't wake up and say, we shall see Jesus. I mean, I thought, this is it. You know, I mean, that day that faith was gone, I thought the rapture took place and I got left behind. I said, Lord, I know I'm saved. Just kidding. You see what God's given us in prayer, but we fail to use it. It's there. It's available. It's for you. It's for me if you're saved tonight. If you're not saved, that prayer, some people call it a sinner's prayer, but it's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer where you put your faith in what Jesus Christ did. That is the prayer that is available to you. And it needs to take place in your life. And once you have prayed and asked Christ to come into your life to be your Savior, then you have this avenue of prayer where you can talk with Him and commune with Him and move mountains and let churches float down streets and land on pieces of property. You know, I mean, if I hadn't read it, I wouldn't have believed it. I read it. There's all kinds of stories about that. And we used to hear things like that. I used to remember my grandmother telling me about things that happened when they prayed. I remember reading about George Mueller, who would go to bed having all those orphans to feed without an ounce of anything in the cupboards. But before morning came, food would be there. Read The Life of George Mueller by A.T. Pearson. It'll stir your heart. See what God can do through people that put their faith and trust in God. And when we come to the end of our life, if somebody were to write a biography on us, what would it say? That we were a praying people? And people that believed that God could, and we saw what God did do? Or people that would always say we believed God could, but we never did anything about it? I'd say if anybody wrote a biography about me, it'd be a pretty sad life in a lot of ways. Because there's so many times that I've come so short in my prayer life. I know God can. And I'll throw things to Him. I'll cast these burdens to Him. And then before I get to where it is I'm going, I'll pick them up again. I still believe He wants us to continue praying to Him. Importunity is always there. This lady, this judge said, I'm going to give it to her because she won't leave me alone. But we need to learn to trust the Lord. Amen. Prayer. Men ought always to pray. Ladies, I think it's all right if you pray too. Amen. Mankind ought to always pray. What this is teaching us is that we ought to be a people of prayer. Let's stand to our feet tonight, would you? Before we pray, have the time of invitation, time to respond, let me ask you just a few personal questions.
Now, these are very personal because only you can answer this question for yourself. Nobody can answer for you. This is the most personal question, but the most important question. Do you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior and that heaven's going to be your home? If there's been a day in your life where you prayed and trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for your soul's salvation, if you know that tonight, would you answer by raising your hand and saying, "Yes, I know this. I know I'm saved. I'm not perfect, but I've prayed and I've asked Jesus to be my Savior." God bless you. Thank you for that. If you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I've never prayed and asked the Lord to be my Savior. If I were to die right now, according to what you have said and what the Bible says, I wouldn't go to heaven because I'm not trusted Christ. And I want to ask that you'd pray for me tonight. Would you lift your hand, preacher? That's me. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved." Well, we won't drag you down the aisle. We won't. People's eyes are closed. People are not looking around. God already knows your heart. So you can't lie to Him, but don't lie to yourself. You say, "Preacher, I'm not saved." God bless you. Thank you for that. Many of us raised our hands. We were saved. Isn't it great to be saved? Now, it's wonderful to know that heaven's going to be our home. But how many of us truly have a prayer life? I mean, truly, not just flippant prayer life. I'm talking about a prayer life. How many of us spend time with God in prayer? How many of us have a place where we pray and maybe a prayer list? How many of us are consistent in our prayer life? America wouldn't be in the shape we're in if Christians would be a praying people. I'm convinced of that. This world wouldn't be in the shape it's in. May the Lord help us tonight. We're saved. God's given us the privilege of prayer. We can enter to the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You might want to come tonight and just ask the Lord to help you and help me and help us to be a praying people again. If you're here tonight and you raised your hand, you're not saved. Let us take a Bible and show you how to know for sure that heaven's going to be your home. Jesus loves you. Died on the cross for your sins. Paid the price so that you could be saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, for this opportunity to respond to your word. I realize, Lord, the feebleness of my words, but I pray that your word has spoken deeply to our hearts and lives. And I pray that Christ has made a difference in us through His word tonight. Lord, may we see the need to be a praying people. Lord, as you beckon us to come, Lord, may we find ourselves in the altar making a commitment about these things. We pray for these that need Christ. Lord, may they come and trust Thee tonight. For it's in Thy precious and wonderful name we do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Brother Chris is going to sing a hymn of invitation. And as he